All right, let's dive in. We're cracking open a topic today that's, well, pretty refreshing. Beer.
Ah, yes.
We're going to explore how different the whole beer culture thing is between the Netherlands and the U.S. We'll see if all those fancy beer glasses are really necessary, or if we Americans are missing out on something.
Right.
This will be fun. You ready?
Absolutely. Our source material for this is based on some personal observations.
Okay.
It's really fascinating how different cultures can be, even when it comes to something as simple as having a beer. And what's interesting is how seriously the Dutch take their beer.
Yeah, the source material did mention how every beer has its own special glass,
It's true. They even called it a holy grail.
which I thought was pretty funny.
I know. But it's more than just a funny quirk, though. In the Netherlands, each type of beer having its own glass is like ingrained in their culture. It shows respect for the beer, for the brewer, and it makes the whole experience better for your senses.
Okay, I can see that.
Imagine you order a Heineken, right?
Yeah.
But instead of getting it in just any old glass, it comes in that official Heineken glass.
Yeah.
So that little thing can elevate the experience.
Yeah, it's kind of like you wouldn't drink wine out of a plastic cup, right? You want a nice glass of that. So maybe it's the same with beer.
Exactly. You're getting it. But our source also mentioned that in America, it's not really like that. They observed that even craft beer is sometimes served in plastic cups.
Oh, the horror.
Right. But it's all about cultural norms, I guess. The Dutch are all about tradition and ceremony, while Americans tend to be more casual and maybe a little less fussy. It's not that one is better, they're just different.
So, like comparing a fancy dinner to a backyard barbecue, right? Both could be good.
Exactly.
But I'm still curious about this whole glassware thing, though. How does the shape of a glass actually change how the beer tastes?
Well, think about it. Every style of beer has its own like aroma profile, right? Different smells. And a well-designed glass, it's kind of like a stage for those aromas. It directs them right to your nose. You get the full effect of what the brewer intended.
That makes sense.
Like a tall, slender Pilsner glass, it's perfect for showing off those crisp, hoppy smells of a Pilsner. But a wider, bowl-shaped glass is better for something like a Belgian double with all those complex, fruity aromas.
Okay.
The glass can even change how the beer flows onto your tongue, so you hit different taste receptors, and that creates a more balanced flavor.
So it's not just about looking fancy, it actually makes the beer taste better.
Exactly. And you'd be surprised how big a difference the right glass can make. Even if you don't have a ton of fancy glasses, just pouring your beer into a glass instead of drinking from the bottle can really open up those aromas and flavors. You might even discover you like certain beers more that way.
Well, I'm definitely intrigued. Now I want to try all my beers in different glasses. We've talked about the culture clash as a science behind the glassware, but what about the beer itself? Let's talk about how these brews are actually made. What goes into it?
Oh, now that's where the magic really happens. And just like with choosing the right glass, brewing beer is this delicate dance of ingredients and techniques.
So let's get into it. What are those magical ingredients?
Well, you start with the four essentials: water, malt, hops, and yeast. They're like the four elements of beer, and each one's crucial to the final product. Water, obviously, is the base. Malt comes from barley that's been sprouted and dried. It gives the yeast the sugars to work with, and it also affects the beer's color, body, and how sweet it is.
So malt is like the foundation, huh? What about hops? Those are for the bitterness, right?
Right, but hops do more than just make it bitter. They actually add a ton of aromas and flavors, from citrus and pine to earthy and floral notes. Different hop varieties are used, and how the brewer adds them during the process really shapes the character of the beer.
So it's this interplay of the malt and the hops, huh?
Exactly. Now, yeast, that's the real unsung hero of brewing. It's a tiny little organism that does this amazing thing called fermentation. When you add the yeast to that sugary liquid from the malt, we call it wort. It starts eating the sugars and produces alcohol and carbon dioxide.
So that's how we get the alcohol and the bubbles.
Exactly. It's pretty amazing how such a tiny thing can make such a big difference.
It really is. But wait, there's got to be more to it than just throwing these four ingredients together, right?
Oh, there's definitely more to it than that. It's a whole process. You can think of it like a carefully choreographed dance, with each step affecting the final flavor.
Okay, so what are the steps in this brewing dance?
It all starts with mashing, where you mix the malt with hot water to extract those sugars. It's like making tea, but on a much bigger scale, and the goal is to get this sugary liquid called wort.
So beer tea.
Pretty much. Once you've got the wort, you boil it and add the hops at different times. This is where brewers get to experiment, using different types of hops and adding them at specific points to get the right bitterness and aromas.
So it's like a chef trying out different spices, huh?
Exactly. After boiling, the wort is cooled down and moved with a special tank for fermentation. This is where the yeast goes to work, converting all that sugar into alcohol and those lovely bubbles.
Ah, so this is where the yeast does its magic. I bet this part takes a lot of patience.
It does. Depending on the beer and the type of yeast, fermentation can take days or even weeks. And you have to monitor it carefully and keep the temperature just right so the yeast is happy and doing its thing.
So there's a lot of science and precision involved in brewing a good beer.
Oh, absolutely. It's a delicate balance of art and science.
I'm learning so much.
After fermentation, some beers need more time to condition or age to develop those flavors even more. Then finally, the beer is filtered and carbonated and gets packaged up, ready to be enjoyed.
And hopefully it ends up in the right glass. We've talked about those Dutch beer rituals, the science behind glassware, and now we're diving into the brewing process itself. It's all coming together.
It really is all connected. From choosing the ingredients to brewing the beer and even picking the right glass, every little detail matters. It all adds up to the whole beer experience.
I think the big takeaway here is that beer is more than just a drink. It's a reflection of culture, history, and craftsmanship. And taking the time to appreciate all the details, the aroma, the flavor, the way it looks in the glass, that just makes the whole experience so much richer.
Absolutely.
So next time you grab a beer, think about those Dutch beer enthusiasts and their fancy glasses. Maybe try out a few different glasses yourself at home and see how it changes your experience. You might discover something new.
That's a great idea. And don't be afraid to try different styles of beer, too. There's a whole world of flavors out there.
Exactly. From light and crisp pilsners to those rich stouts, there's a beer out there for everyone. So keep exploring.
Cheers to that. And remember, the best way to learn about beer is to drink it.
Well said. That's all for our Beertastic deep dive today. Until next time, cheers to good beer, good company, and the perfect glass to enjoy it in.
So before we took a little detour into the world of brewing, we were talking about how important it is to have the right glass for your beer.
Right. And our source mentioned something really interesting.
Yeah.
They said different beer glasses are kind of like instruments in an orchestra, each one designed to like bring out those unique notes of a particular style.
Oh, I like that. That's a great way to put it. And speaking of instruments or glasses in this case,
right,
there are a lot of them out there.
Oh, I bet. Like a whole symphony of glasses. But I probably don't need every single one, do I?
No, not at all. You don't need to be a collector to enjoy good beer. Just a few key shapes will cover most of the styles you'll come across.
Okay, so like what are the essentials, the must-haves for a beginner?
Well, first up is the classic pint glass.
Ah, yes, the good old pint glass.
A true workhorse. Versatile, sturdy, works well for a lot of different beers, lagers, pale ales, even some of the bolder IPAs.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, there are two main types of pint glasses, the American pint, which is straight-sided,
okay,
and the English pint, which has a little bulge near the top.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that.
But both are designed to give you a good balance of headspace for the aromas and a comfortable grip. Because, let's be real, sometimes those booze sessions can last a while.
Yeah, they can. Okay, so pint glass, check. What else?
If you like beers with, like, more complex aromas,
okay,
like Belgian ales or stouts or barley wines,
those are good.
You'll want to add a tulip glass or a snifter to your collection.
Okay.
These have that bulbous shape that helps trap those volatile aromas, lets them develop fully, creates a symphony of flavors in every sip.
So it's like a bouquet of aromas.
Exactly. But let's be honest, not all of us are like serious beer connoisseurs with a whole cabinet full of fancy glasses.
You're telling me. So any other must-haves for the average beer drinker?
Of course. If you like wheat beers, especially the German ones like Hefeweizen.
Mm-hmm. Hefeweizen.
You got to have a Weizen glass. Tall, slender, little curve at the top.
Okay.
Shows off that cloudy appearance that's so characteristic of wheat beers and really captures those like clothes-like aromas that you get from the special yeast they use. A Hefeweizen just doesn't taste the same in any other glass.
All right, you've convinced me. Weizen glass added to the list.
Perfect.
But okay, let's get real for a sec. Can't we just enjoy a beer in any glass we have? Like, does it really make that much of a difference?
Well, think about it this way.
Yeah.
You wouldn't eat a gourmet meal off a paper plate, would you?
No, probably not.
Right. And you wouldn't listen to your favorite symphony through a tin can speaker, would you? The right tools can enhance any experience.
Okay, I see your point.
And beer is not different. The shape of the glass, the thickness of the rim, even the angle the beer flows onto your tongue all play a part in how you experience it. The aroma, the flavor, everything.
So it's like upgrading from economy to first class just by changing the glass.
Exactly. But, you know, I get it. Sometimes you're just hanging out at home, watching a game, having a barbecue. Maybe you don't want to pull out the fancy glassware then.
Right, right.
I think it comes down to personal preference. If you just want a quick drink, any glass will do.
Yeah.
But if you really want to savor those flavors and aromas, even if it's a simple lager or pale ale, pouring it into a glass can make a big difference.
You know what? I'm convinced. From now on, I'm treating my beer with respect, even at home.
That's the spirit.
But let's talk about the people who actually make this delicious drink happen. The brewers. What can you tell me about them?
The brewers. They're like modern-day alchemists, turning basic ingredients into liquid gold.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
And just like how the right glassware can elevate your beer experience, the brewing process itself is this incredible journey of science and art.
So let's take a peek behind the curtain. What goes on in those magical brewing vats?
Well, it all starts with the four key ingredients we talked about earlier. Water, malt, hops, and yeast. Those are like the four elements of the beer world, each one playing a crucial role in creating that final product. First, you have the water, which forms the foundation of the beer. Then you've got malt, which is basically sprouted barley that's been dried and roasted. This malt is what provides the sugars that the yeast will ferment into alcohol, and it also contributes to the beer's color, body, and sweetness.
Okay, so malt is like the backbone of the beer.
Exactly. Then you've got the hops, which are the flowers of the hop plant. They're what give beer that characteristic bitterness, but they also add a whole spectrum of aromas and flavors, from citrusy and piney to earthy and floral. The brewer's choice of hop varieties and how they use them during the brewing process really determines the final character of the beer.
So this kind of delicate dance between the malt and the hops.
Exactly. And then we have yeast, which is the tiny organism that does all the heavy lifting during fermentation. When yeast is added to that sugary liquid extracted from the malt called wort, it starts consuming those sugars and produces alcohol and carbon dioxide as byproducts. This process is what gives beer its alcohol content and that characteristic fizziness.
So yeast is like the unsung hero of the brewing process.
Absolutely. But there's more to brewing than just combining these four ingredients. It's a whole process, a series of carefully orchestrated steps that transform those simple ingredients into the delicious beer we all know and love.
Okay, so walk me through it. What are the key steps involved in this transformation?
Well, the first step is called mashing.
So mashing, that's the first step.
Yeah, mashing is where the magic starts. It's basically where you mix the malted barley with hot water to extract those fermentable sugars, like steeping tea, but on a much larger scale. The goal is to create that sugary liquid we call wort.
Ah, so that's how we get the wort.
Exactly. Once you have that wort, it's boiled, and then the hops are added in at different stages. This is where brewers can really get creative, playing around with different types of hops and adding them at specific times to create the bitterness and aroma profiles they're looking for.
So it's like a chef adding spices to a dish, right? Experimenting with different flavors.
Exactly. You got it. And after the boil, the wort's cooled down and transferred to a fermentation vessel. That's where the yeast is added.
Right. The yeast. That's where the real magic happens, right? Where the sugar turns into alcohol.
You got it. That's fermentation. It's a crucial step that requires a lot of patience because depending on the beer style and the yeast strain, fermentation can take anywhere from a few days to several weeks, and it's got to be carefully monitored. The temperature has to be just right to make sure the yeast is happy and doing its job.
Wow, so much goes into making a good beer.
It really is a delicate dance between art and science. And after fermentation, some beers might go through additional steps like conditioning or aging to further develop those complex flavors.
To get even more delicious.
Exactly. And then finally, the beer is filtered, carbonated, and packaged, ready to make its way to your glass. Hopefully the right glass.
Right, the right glass. We've come full circle from those Dutch beer rituals to the science of glassware and now the art of brewing. It's all connected.
It really is. Every step of the way, from selecting the ingredients to the brewing process, even to the glass you choose, it all affects the overall experience.
I think the biggest takeaway for me is that beer is so much more than just a drink. It's a reflection of culture, history, craftsmanship. And taking the time to really appreciate all the details, the aromas, the flavors, the presentation, it just enriches the whole experience.
Well said. Couldn't agree more. So next time you reach for a beer, think about those Dutch beer enthusiasts and their dedication to glassware. Maybe try experimenting with different glasses at home. You might be surprised at how much it can change your perception of the beer.
Yeah, and don't be afraid to try different styles of beer either. There's a whole world of flavors out there waiting to be discovered.
Exactly. From light and crisp pilsners to rich, dark stouts, there's a beer out there for every palate. Cheers to that.
Cheers. And remember, the best way to learn about beer is to drink it. So go forth and explore. Well, that wraps up our beer-tastic deep dive for today. Until next time, cheers to good beer, good company, and the perfect glass to enjoy it in. 7/20 of 7.